Hi, everyone. My name is Caroline Pavlenik, and I have my own baby and toddler sleep consulting business called Bedtime Boss. Well, first I would love to know, how many of you in this room have little ones ages about 18 months to 3 years? Okay, perfect. How about 3 to 5 years old? Okay, a lot of you there. Great. And then how about little ones under 18 months? Okay, perfect. All right, so we have a good mix. And so, and then, of course, I assume those who haven't raised their hands, you have older kiddos or yes. Awesome. Okay. Well, we are going to do, I'm going to talk for about 20, 30 minutes, and then we'll open up the floor to questions. My presentation is mostly geared towards toddlers and young school-age children. So if we want to talk about babies, 18 months and younger, after that, we absolutely can. All right, so we can go to slide one. Okay, so that is my little one, Savannah. Gosh, she was about a year then. She was inspiration for getting into this business, as you can imagine, her lack of sleep. And after 15 years in corporate America, I stepped away. I said, I'm going to do something that I'm really passionate about. And I started my company. And that's what gives me intense gratification, is helping tired moms and dads finally get the sleep that they need and deserve. So, next slide. Doesn't have to be you, especially you with little ones. I think that sometimes, especially as moms, we kind of have that unspoken sleep-deprived badge of honor, right? Like, okay, I brought a child in this world, and that just means I'm going to be sleep-deprived for the next, you know, 6 or 7 years, and I'll just deal with it. It doesn't have to be that way. With consistency and the correct implementation of boundaries, and allowing your child to learn how to self-soothe and fall asleep on their own, you absolutely can have a full night's sleep. And so can your child. As we all know, sleep is hugely important to our kids. It physically, mentally, it helps with better moods, better learning aptitude. I mean, we all know as parents, right? When your baby is in a foul mood and they haven't slept, you know that sleep can really help. So, next slide. Okay, so toddler development. And for those of you can probably remember the best of days and the worst of days with your toddlers, right? So they are extremely persistent, especially when something worked in the past and they got their way, they'll just continue and continue. They are born boundary pushers. And of course, that's just a normal part of toddler development. They are little manipulators. As we all know, it's at the core of it. It's the basic discovery of doing something to get what you want, right? It's basically a human survival technique. And they also see the world in very much black or white, right? There's no rationalization. It's black or it's white, even down to their rooms. I mean, they like their rooms very, very specific, where little things live. And if they get moved, it's very upsetting. Okay. Next slide. So again, we all know this, or for those of you with little ones, you're going to come to see this too. Consistency is crucial, and it is with all baby sleep, but especially when we get to the toddler age, which is around 18 months to a young three, it's very important to have consistency with our routines, with our structure. Again, toddlers can't remember rules. They cannot rationalize. Have super, super short attention span. So when we say something, it has to be direct and a quick redirect versus a super long explanation of why, right? Again, living with a toddler is extremely difficult if the toddler is not well rested. We all know that. The big thing here, though, is that even though they push and push and push, they will end up feeling very insecure when boundaries shift. Toddlers, as all children, love structure and they love routine, even though they will pretend or put off that they don't, they really do and they need it. For example, school-age children as well. I mean, children, you probably notice they want to sit at the same desk every day, or on the bus, they want to sit at the same seat. So structure and routine is extremely important in our children's lives. Next slide. This is one of my favorite quotes. Because it's true, right? We want to be the parent. And that's a motto that you just have to remember. You are the parent. You are the parent. You are the parent. And this plays especially well into bedtime. Next slide. Okay, so when do families come to me with toddlers or young children? What's going on? So a number one issue can be that a new baby just came to the house. That's always pretty consistently going to happen, a sleep regression or some sort of behavior issue. Baby was always a poor sleeper, and parents thought, gosh, you know, little Johnny's going to eventually grow out of this. And he, lo and behold, he doesn't. In fact, studies show that if your child is not sleeping well by age one, then you're definitely going to need to take some sort of measure via outside help or some sort of new way to implement better sleep habits. Moving your child from a crib to a bed too soon can be disastrous. We're going to talk about that later, but that's also something that we see a lot where baby parents needed the crib or they just thought it was time. And more often than not, if they're a poor sleeper, moving from crib to bed too soon can just be really, really tough. Again, just lack of structure, boundaries outside of the bedtime routine, but just in general, and that, of course, will play into bedtime. Sometimes behavioral issues that are not, or medical issues that aren't necessarily picked up on until the child is maybe a year and a half, two. And once that is addressed and kind of under control, then we can start helping with sleep. All right, next slide. So how much sleep does your kiddo need? I don't know if any of this is surprising to you, but those stats are from the National Sleep Foundation. Does anyone know how much sleep for adults is recommended?
Like 7 hours?
Yeah, 7 to 9 hours. Mm-hmm. Yep. How many of you got that last night? Nobody, really. Yeah, okay, 3, 4, good.
It's gonna,
nice, very nice. All right, next slide. Okay, so how many of you have little ones who are, say, 2.5 and up and still taking a nap, afternoon nap?
Not consistently, but you can tell when it's needed.
Sometimes, yeah, okay. So sometimes parents ask, okay, gosh, little Sally she sleeps at daycare and she sleeps, 2 hours, and we put her to bed at 8:30 and she is up for an hour and an hour and a half and just won't fall asleep. You know, what's going on? So a lot of times we can start seeing around 2.5 that afternoon nap becoming problematic with bedtime sleep. And so what I always suggest is if you see that your child is taking an hour to fall asleep at night or has really early morning waking, so, is up at 5 a.m. consistently every single day, then if they're still taking an afternoon nap, you might consider first capping that to 1 hour and seeing if that helps or just taking that nap away. And a lot of daycares will work with you on that. If you say, you know what, this is interfering with nighttime sleep, can Sally just have some quiet time at daycare today? Just quiet time, and usually that can help. But most kiddos you'll see, they'll stop taking a nap sometime between age 3 and 5. Next slide. All right, the toddler bed transition. So we talked a little bit about that if you have a baby who's not a very good sleeper, it's really not going to solve their sleep issues. So my recommendation is if you can keep your kiddo in a crib until age 3, that is ideal. And you might ask, okay, well, why age 3? Well, that's when most little ones can actually start rationalizing, right? So they can rationalize, okay, I'm supposed to stay in my bed and not come out to mommy and daddy's. I'm supposed to sleep and be quiet in bed and not come out. You know, when they're 1.5, 2, they just don't understand that, and it's hard to really consequence them. So if you can keep your kiddo into your crib at 3, that's ideal. Now, the only exception would be they are climbing out and at risk of hurting themselves. Of course, you don't want that, so that would be an exception. Some things you can try is putting on a reverse sleep sack. So put the zipper in the back so they can't unzip it. If you have a crib that has a higher end on one side, you can flip that around so that the higher end is to the front, and you can help that way. You know, but if you do have a little Houdini, then it could be time. Another way to help with the toddler bed transition when your kiddo is ready for that is get them involved in the process. Say, hey, you know, we're going to help, you can help mom pick out a new comforter or maybe a new lovey. And then take that crib down when they're not at home, because sometimes there is that emotional attachment to a crib and they'll want that crib back. And especially if you have a younger sibling, sometimes they crave still being a baby and wanting to be the baby. Depends on your kiddo. But it's a good idea to take that crib down when they're not there. In the beginning, you can offer a trinket reward each time they stay in bed without coming into mom and dad's room, and have it something that your kid actually wants or likes, right? So have your child come to the dollar store with you and pick out some little fun things. Especially when they're real little, they need that immediate gratification. Sometimes the older ones can work well in having a sticker chart, reward chart, to have something bigger at the end of the week. But for the little guys and gals, having an immediate reward from a treasure box can be very helpful in having them stay in their room. Also, how many of you have used or have heard of a wake to sleep clock? Yeah, nice. Yes, cool.
Yeah.
I
had the one that would wake up super early.
Okay.
And she'd come in and not expect us to get up, but it was like, I'm
yeah.
But yeah, it worked for her until it broke, but it worked.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Any
she
other?
Stay in bed, though, now she's
older. Yeah. How old was she when you used that?
Oh, gosh, she was like two.
Okay.
Three.
Two, three. So they're called wake to sleep clocks, and this is an example of when I actually set this, so it's turning yellow half an hour before wake time. So what these are, these really help when your kiddo is in a actual bed, and especially before they can tell time. They have different versions. This one has just a lighted version, and this will actually go green at 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m., whenever you set it to go green, and that's a signal to your child, okay, light is green, you can come out of bed now. They also have versions where the little cow is sitting up out of bed, or little animal pictures that real little kids can identify with.
How old are they when they're understanding that?
It depends on your child. Usually when they can start knowing what colors are, so maybe 2+, depends on your child, yeah.
Remember, but Dylan was like probably like 3 or 4, so she knew her colors, and also like we showed it to her, like you can't get up until this this color or whatever.
And they'll stop.
Yeah, hers was a stoplight. It was really good,
so they
too.
Understood, like, stuff on there,
it
yeah.
Nice.
And ours has an alarm that you can set on our, it, too.
Yeah, ours
just
does,
like,
too.
From Amazon or
we got ours at Target. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
It worked really well for Dylan. The other two I didn't have a problem with. She was getting up at, like, 4:30, 5:30. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, away.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that and it worked really well because she was in her room by herself, and she could turn on the light, and she could play in her room, and that's what she ended up doing. And that did break, but she got into the habit of doing it so much that, like, if nobody else is up, then I can just stay in my room. And that worked well for her. Sorry.
Good. No, I love that. Thank you for the comments. If anyone else would like to comment on the clock.
So I have one that would follow it, and the other one would unplug it.
Oh, lovely.
That's a smart kid right there.
Yeah. I have one that was like,
so it depends. It does depend.
Yeah.
It does.
I have a
little
follower, and
yes.
I have a...
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a very good point. Another option when they are older, they know their numbers, is you can just get a basic digital clock that has the big numbers on it and duct tape everything but the first hour. And so you can call it Magic 7. When it's Magic 7,
oh, see,
you can come out of your room. So that's an inexpensive and easy way as well.
Just put a nightlight on a Christmas tree timer, which is a lot cheaper than the okay to wake clock.
Mm-hmm.
So when the nightlight turns on or off, I can't remember what it is,
And I'm glad that you brought that up, too. So a note on nightlight. So if your baby is asking for a light, usually that doesn't happen until they're 2+. You know, young babies sleep best in pitch black. Babies are not afraid of the dark. I always encourage blackout blinds. Anything you do, you can keep that like a cave environment, right? But when your child starts wanting a nightlight, stick to red, yellow, or amber hues because that has less of a disruption on melatonin. So just an FYI.
Oh, I have a good suggestion. So they make those little, they're like a ball, and they shoot like a picture or something.
Oh, yeah.
But they're really low light. Mm-hmm. So they make them like a Christmas one or something like that.
Yeah.
And they shine on the ceiling, but they're like low light.
Sure.
They're like a, they might be like a blue color or a red color, mm-hmm. like you said, but those are the two.
Yeah.
Like bright light.
Right, right.
And they only come on when it's dark. It has the sensor.
Cool. Nice. I know there are so many neat gadgets out there right now. Okay, next clock. Okay, so routines and consistency. Again, it's so crucial at every stage of life, really, to have these in place. So it's an obvious one, right? Screen time. You want to take that out an hour before bedtime, and that's going to be easier. So there's no argument anyhow about going to bed. It's, hey, it's 1 hour before bedtime. We're going to be doing something else. And then have that activity in, so kind of a pre-routine night bedtime, pre-bedtime routine, right, where you get have activity. You can move around with some fun songs. You can do some stretching songs. But just get all, you know, the jiggles and get your kiddo just moving and going. That can be very, very important. So next slide. Okay, so bedtime routine. And it starts, you know, a lot of parents say, I don't know how this happened, but I don't even know where to go from here. We're in this rabbit hole. And it starts with a very simple request. You know, little requests like, hey, can you open the door a little bit more tonight? Okay, well, it doesn't seem like a big deal to parents, right? Like, okay, sure, open your door. So the next night is, well, Mama, can you open the door a little bit more? And then can I have socks on my feet? Okay, whatever, fine. Next night it's, you know, a litany of little tiny requests. And then before you know it, your bedtime routine is taking 2 hours. So it's so crucial that you have very consistent rules for the routine. It's 2 books a night. It's, you know, this is what we're doing. It's brush your teeth, and then we read story, and then we do this. Whatever that looks like to you, but again, toddlers think in black and white, so it has to be very, very specific. I do, in the next page, I'll show you a chart, but bedtime, it's very common to have a 7:30 to 8:30 bedtime for toddlers who are on one nap a day, and if your child is not napping throughout the day, you know, it can be sometime between, say, 7 and 8, but essentially knowing how much sleep that your kiddo needs and what time they need to be up in the morning, you know, you're just going to count backwards to allow that sufficient amount of sleep time. Next. Okay, so these are sleep rules, very, very basic, okay? And the pictures are there for children who cannot read, but there's nothing complicated about these, right? Number one, stay in bed. Number two, lay quietly. Number three, stay in bed all night until the clock or whatever mechanism you have says it's okay to come out. So you can post these in your child's room, outside your child's room, somewhere close to their sleeping area. Next clock, or excuse me, next page. Okay, so we talked about okay to wake clocks. Again, Amazon, great resource, tons of options there. Coloring books. Now, this is something that parents find useful when they are making that transition into a big boy or big girl bed. This is just an example, but it's you can personalize it with the name of your child, and, you know, Reagan is going to be sleeping in her own bed and talks about her new lovey. And her routine, and these can be fun for your child to color and go through with them. Another option that can work well for parents is to actually make a book that you can do off Shutterfly or another service, where you take a photo of your child's room and her bed, and you take a photo of mommy and daddy's bed, and you take it, you know, pictures of her toothbrush and the potty and things like that, and you integrate them into a little story. And that teaches them that this is, you know, this is Sally's bed. Sally sleeps here all night long. This is mommy and daddy's bed. This is where mommy and daddy sleep. And you can outline the rules and the behaviors that you'd like to see that way. Next slide. Okay, this one-on-one time is really crucial, and I recommend that to the parents that I work with. A lot of times we'll see night wakings because it's an attention-seeking mechanism, right? And they don't care if it's that negative attention, but it's attention from mom or dad. So it's really crucial that you have 15 to 20 minutes of undivided attention from one parent each day. And that's not split up 5 minutes here or there. It's really a consistent sit-down time of meaningful interaction with your child. Next. Okay, and then obviously a lot of physical activity is really important. And if you can have some outside or just physical playtime, we see that 10 a.m. and around 3 to 4 p.m. can be very, very helpful. Next slide. Okay, so other things. So massage, and of course there's infant massage techniques, but even for toddlers and older kiddos, and it can actually be more of just a firm, like firm pressure squeezes down the back. And what you can do, and a lot of kiddos are very receptive to this, but just have your palms flat around their shoulders and one big squeeze, two, three, four, all the way down to their toes, and then back up and do that three times, just as right before they're getting into bed. Anyone have children here who are afraid of the room or monsters or anything like that, feel like their room is unsafe? Okay, if that ever comes up, I recommend called a room spray, and that's basically just water scented with an essential oil. And it's important that you don't call that monster spray because you don't want to validate the fear.
We literally have a bottle that says monster spray and type this big.
Oh, okay.
That's a bad idea.
Well, if it works for you, does it work for you?
It works.
Yeah, if it works for you, then it's great.
Spray. It's like a lavender spray.
Okay,
like
awesome.
Run through it after the spray on the pillow.
Perfect.
I even get the drop. The lavender drops and put it in their bath water.
Nice. You are ahead of the game. That's great. Yeah.
It's genius to
help. Yes, it does. So that can spray. Sometimes they'll want to go overboard on the spraying, and you just have your rule. It's, you know, it's one spray or two sprays, whatever your rule is, and that's it. That is it, and you leave it be. Anyone have issues with anxiety or kiddos who are worrying a lot about things? And what can help with that is you have a worry tree, and they can even draw this, but it can be something that you can put in their room that we say, hey, what are your worries today? And you write their worries on that tree, on the little leaves. And then the worry fairy comes each night and can take one of those down or take a couple down. So it helps them verbalize what's their fears and their anxieties and, you know, have a conversation about that. Any type of, there are some really good relaxation, breathing audios out there. Nidra yoga, if anyone practices that, it actually can help just with breathing. And, you know, sometimes you can have your kiddo take deep breaths with a feather and or pretend they're blowing out a birthday cake. But those breathing exercises can really help. And then eye pillow, that's just a fun activity with lavender. Or sachet or something that they can get involved in.
Spa music radio does great.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, no, I'm loving all this. Okay, and then some other resources. Sleep4Kids.org is great. It's a children's kind of offshoot of the National Institute of Sleep. So great ideas, great printouts, coloring books, things like this. And then Relax Kids is really cool. They're only in the UK right now, but that it's a program that's very much geared towards children with a lot of anxiety. And it has a whole series of steps that that you could take in the bedtime routine to help with sleep for those kiddos who have really high anxiety. Next slide. So these are fun if you have a child who's using the bathroom as an excuse. How many of you have experienced that? And half the time, it's really just because it's an excuse, right? And so sometimes a potty pass can be very helpful. We say you get one a night, and that's and it's kind of fun for them to redeem it and whatnot. So next slide. And final tip, the milk consumption can be something that we see with toddlers, especially always wanting milk, 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 milk. And when they fill up on that, believe it or not, it can interfere with sleep. So if I run into a family that's having that issue, these are the guidelines that I recommend. Next slide. And that's it. I know that that was mostly geared towards toddlers. So if anyone has any baby sleep questions or any other questions or just comments, I'm game.
And we only give it to him at nighttime, but I know at some point I'm going to have to take that away. And when he doesn't have it, like, he'll throw it out, and then he can't go to sleep. So how do you suggest, like, handling that transition from, like, not having this comfort item to help him go to sleep?
Mm-hmm. So is that the Wubby, like, the pacifier, or just,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. So say a Lovey is perfectly fine, they can sleep with. So how old is your son?
He's 13 months.
Okay, and so it sounds like he needs that passy to get to sleep in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are two options. Number one is just cold turkey, and you just take it, and he will protest for probably two nights and then be over it. The other option, as kiddos get a little bit older, have you heard of the new, the little bear fairy passy thing? Yeah, so it's a little bear that has a hole in his mouth for a pacifier, and as he maybe is old enough to understand, you can give the bear the passy as a way to get to kind of, you know, get rid of it. I do, what I find is that the cold turkey removal of the pacifier is the easiest way, especially because it is disrupting their sleep. And then once the parents can get over the two nights of not so happiness, child will sleep through the night very quickly. The only caveat to that is sometimes if you have a toddler, 2-3-year-old who's still using a passy, and they can still sleep with it okay, then I would not remove it because that can even have a reverse effect on sleep. Yeah.
Do you have any tips on kids sharing rooms? Like, we have a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Okay.
We live in a really weird house, but
yeah.
Weird floor plan. But do you have any tips for that? Because Eleanor's going to be going to school next year, and Madeline, the younger one, just eggs her on and won't let her sleep, and it's like, you know, try to wind her up. I don't know what to do.
So it reminds you of a 9-month-old, and how old are the older two? Okay, so 2 and 4, and then you would like to move the 9-month-old into the room.
I mean,
it's not crazy. It can happen. How does your 9-month-old sleep through the night? Okay. Yeah. And so right now it just sounds like it's the bickering among the two older ones that.
It's mostly the 2-year-old, I'd say. I don't know. She's probably the worst sleeper of all three of them. I don't know. She's like the one you're talking about. First of all, she's big. So she can get out of her crib no problem. Runs around the house.
Okay.
We would put her in the big bed, but I'm scared she's going to roll out. We have hardwood floors. Hit the floor from however high up the bed is.
Oh, sure.
So I'm not sure.
So is she's in a crib now in the room? Okay. Yeah.
Crib in the academic sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's on the floor.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, it would be doable if you can get the 2-year-old to, you know, stay in the crib. And there's a variety of measures to do that. And it would probably disrupt your older child for a little bit until you get her to the point where she's going to bed okay and sleeping through the night. A big part of that is consequencing the behavior, and again, very, very strict rules and very strict guidelines that she stays in her crib and she does not come out into mommy and daddy's room. And it's leading them back at night, consequencing by taking one thing that can work very well, even if they already sleep with the door shut, is you hold the door shut and say, "Mama's locking the door," and you hold it shut for incremental periods where they think the door is locked, but it's not until you leave it, you know, open again. Taking away the lovey for a minute each time can help too. But it consequences, if she kind of can't understand them at this point, are going to be huge in helping with that. And then sound machines are very, very helpful because it can block out the noise of the other kiddos. It blocks out the household ambient noise. So this is an example of one that I really like. So these are great for little babies because they replicate the sound of mom's womb. So this is an immediate sure type mechanism. So very helpful for little ones and through school age to have a sound machine. If you're already ahead of the game, if your 9-month-old is sleeping through the night, think if you can, as your 2-year-old gets a little bit older maybe and can start understanding consequences better, you should be, theoretically, you should be okay. Yeah. A lot of, I know. Yes. Oh, gosh. And you can't, she will cry. She'll get out of a crib if you put her back in one.
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah.
We could try that.
We'll try. Yeah.
We'll see.
I think she'll be the one unplugging.
Sure. Yeah, but I think there's some that have batteries.
Yeah, wireless.
Mm-hmm. I think the one I got, you could put batteries in it. So you could plug it in, and then she could unplug it, and it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Be like, that didn't work, did it?
What if you have a kid that keeps coming out? She's 3.5. She keeps coming out. But she's, I guess, I don't know if she's a sociopath, but nothing motivates her. I'm dead serious. She doesn't care. If you say, if you threaten to take something away, she hands it to you. She doesn't care.
What would motivate her in the positive?
Nothing. Like, we try, like, incentivizing her with a show in the morning, or, like, I mean, I'm, like, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I'm offering her candy from her Halloween bucket the next morning. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, I know. So, but even on the weekends when we're not, when she's not napping, like, we threw that out the door, like, a while ago.
Mm-hmm. What time?
To play.
What time is her bedtime?
7:30.
Mm-hmm. And what time does she usually wake?
They get up at 6:30.
Okay, so she's getting 11 hours, and that's without a nap.
So during the week, she naps at school.
Mm-hmm.
On the weekend, she doesn't nap at school.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I think she just has a hard time, like, shutting her brain down. But we do, like, a strict bedtime routine. We have boundaries. Everyone has their own noise machine in our house. Like, we do stories. We do everything. Other than, and I've tried shutting the door and holding it.
Mm-hmm.
She flips out. She just has, like, a nuclear meltdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long do you hold it for?
I mean, I tried it for 45 seconds.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
I mean, that was like, it was a really long
and
time.
Did she go back into her room?
No, she was like throwing herself at the door, like a caged animal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's chat on that, a little bit more, because those can be tough cases when you feel like there's nothing that motivates them, there's nothing, and usually they're, by digging a little bit deeper, I can find something that might help.
Oh, it involves, like, PJs, stories, books, prayers.
Massage.
I guess we could try it, like Weston's little massage. Yeah, I mean, we do bath, books, mm-hmm. prayers. We let them listen to stories. Like, they get to pick stories on the...
Does she want to hang out with you, or does she just want to go and play?
It's both. Like, mm-hmm. she comes out for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Are you spending one-on-one time with her during the day sufficiently? Well, I mean, literally, you and she together for 15 minutes solid.
We try to do stories. We try to do mm-hmm. books separately. Like, my husband does a book with, we just switch
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like 5 minutes of that, like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And during the day, aside from the bedtime routine, how is the one-on-one time look?
I mean, I don't see them during the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you can't, and that's really helpful because it sounds like, I mean, of course there could be some other things in there, but just the attention from mama, yeah. If you can carve out and, you know, set your timer so you know for sure you're spending 15 minutes and doing whatever activity she wants, not just you and she, yeah. Because a lot of times you can see it's a cry for attention.
How do you feel about if the other two are in bed and then maybe, I don't know, I guess it would screw everything up, but if her other two are in bed and she just took, maybe let if Matt was home, let him do them, and then kind of during that time just take that 15 minutes to be with her.
I
think
we had to do that.
Do you know what I mean? Does that mess everything up?
No, if you can have...
If you made it part of the routine,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Have a little bit.
That would work. I don't know if that messed everybody else up.
No, I mean, as long, and it is very, and I forgot to mention as well, staggering bedtimes can help a lot too, just so that you know one is asleep and in bed, and then that opens up time to do the routine for your other kids. But yeah, however you can fit that in, that's a little bit separate from the routine, however that looks. And I know it's hard, you know, especially with working parents too, you don't get to see them as much as you want, but however that looks for you that you can squeeze it in would be really helpful.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What I've done in the summer before, like for good behavior, it'll also alternate nights when you stay up later.
Yeah.
Just that kind of added attention.
Yeah, because she started having this issue when our baby showed up.
Oh, okay.
So I guess maybe that doesn't take soon.
How old is your baby?
7 months.
Okay.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's
yeah, I guess
very common.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. How do you feel about? So I have a 6-year-old and I have 3. I have a 9-year-old. He's in a room by himself who doesn't go to sleep until like 10 o'clock. But that's just how he's always been.
Mm-hmm.
He gets plenty of sleep. The boy sleeps like a rock. The other two, they sleep fine. But sometimes they sleep in the same room, which mm-hmm. I don't like. I wish I had a fourth bedroom. But my youngest one, she's 4, she'll be 5 in December, and she has to, like, unwind, and so her way of unwinding is just, like, playing by herself
mm-hmm.
in her room before, but is it okay if I just tell her as long as she stays in there? Because I always try and tell her to stay in bed, and me growing up, like, I didn't do that either, like, I
mm-hmm.
like to... Like she plays quietly. It's not like, or does things in her bed and isn't like in the bed.
Sure.
But, I mean, is that
sure?
But she falls asleep.
Yeah. I you know, and I say I don't have like personally. I don't have an opinion on how your child falls to sleep unless you are coming to me saying, hey, I need your help because I'm not sleeping and my baby's not sleeping. If she's getting adequate sleep, she's in a good mood, you know, she's how her behavior is to where it should be because of sleep, then yeah, I mean, that's fine. As long as you and your husband are okay with it, she's safe and she's not harming anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I always wanted her to, like, stay in bed, but I feel like that causes more fights than if she were to just play quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother the other one. She goes to sleep, like, you know.
Sure.
But, okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
And they both do, but Dylan will, like, stay in bed and do whatever she's doing in bed. So mm-hmm. It's like, laying like a teenager backwards on the bed and all doing whatever, playing with Barbie or something.
But sure. Yeah.
That's true.
Might be her, just the way that she kind of helps put herself to sleep, right? Yeah, her own little routine.
She's so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something, too, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's a good point. We all have our routines, right, as adults. You know, you probably brush your teeth in a certain order. Maybe you have special PJs or socks that you wear at night or your special pillow. I mean, if you think about it, we all have a way that we go to bed, and it's probably the same every single night. And that's why when we go to a hotel or we sleep at relatives' homes, typically we don't get as good of sleep because we're outside our home environment. And so if someone were to come to you and say, okay, we're going to change up everything now. You're going to wear these pajamas and I'm going to give you this new electric toothbrush and, you know, we're going to move your bed this way. I mean, it would be met with resistance, right? And when you wouldn't like it, it would take some time to adjust. So I just want that, you know, as a analogy to when I work with families who come to me and say, my child doesn't sleep and I need help, we are going to make some changes. And so it is going to be met with protest, but that protest is short-lived. So it will take, for toddlers, it's about 3 weeks. For kiddos under two, around 2 weeks of working together until they get the hang of it. And it's a skill. It really is a skill to be learned on how to self-soothe and how to sleep through the night. So that was I'm glad you brought that up on the routine.
I have a question. We have an older one.
Yeah.
But we're going to be moving to a new home, and he has high anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest for moving him to a brand new bedroom with a new bed and the whole house is new? What can we kind of do to calm his anxiety over that?
Sure. Sure, definitely. So a couple of things. Is there any way that you can get some photos of the house and his room ahead of time and, you know, talk through that with him? Is it close enough where you could drive by maybe and show?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So to start before the transition, to just familiarize your child with the new environment, show pictures from, you know, the MLS listing or whatnot of the new bedroom. Get him excited about it. Allow him to pick out something special for his new room. Kind of be the cheerleader of it. And then just the reassurance of something, you know, exciting in the neighborhood or, you know, something that's all very positive about the transition to build that up.